This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Welcome this morning to Klaus Financial Money in Motion. Answers to all your retirement questions in one place. And you can, if you want any more information about this, you can go to klassfinancial.com. It's K-L-A-S-A-A-S-S, financial.com. So klassfinancial.com. Your hosts, Malia Cuevas and CJ Klaus. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Great. How are you?
We're good.
Good.
Doing pretty good. It's been a busy week. Excited because it's March and it's almost time for March Madness, and that's the greatest
that's
show
right.
on earth.
That's right.
Badgers play tonight, so what could be better? It's all about basketball.
It's true.
Just want to remind everyone, you can give us a call 321-1310 or 1-877-235-1310 if you have retirement related questions for either Malia or CJ. And we'll also have our question of the week that we'll get to before the end of the program. We'll get to that question before the end, and you can win a pretty good prize, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But first, I want to get into the first topic, and it revolves around debt. Is it good, bad, or forbidden as we look towards our own eventual retirement?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, so many times on this show, I think people think of Klaus Financial as the place you go only if you have money or only if you have it all together.
That would be great.
I think.
Yeah, that would be good.
Malia.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be awesome. Malia always jokes around that I live in a utopian world inside of my mind, and there's truth to that. It's positive reinforcement.
It's his youth.
Right?
That's yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that utopian world in your mind.
It's called
well, in that world, nobody has debt, and so we don't talk about it. No, but the bottom line is that the reality is debt makes the world go round. We figured this out in 2008 when the financial system came to a screeching halt because people had too much debt and couldn't pay it off. So managing debt is a critical aspect of overall retirement planning. So back to that utopian world, we really like to see people working towards becoming debt-free as they get closer to retirement. Sure. Now, that sounds like a no-brainer, but actually not all of our counterparts in the industry necessarily agree with that. Some people would say, no, you know, if you're a high-income earner in retirement, you want to have a write-off, which your mortgage is your only remaining write-off in retirement. And we just fundamentally disagree with it. The numbers don't line up for us. So as you get closer to retirement, we like to see people paying down their debt and having the goal of becoming debt-free by the time they hit retirement. Listen, if you're debt-free in retirement, you could have $50,000 a year or $40,000 a year of total retirement income and, you know, feel really wealthy.
Yeah.
But if you have a $300,000 mortgage when you retire, suddenly you need a lot more cash flow to maintain your standard of living.
Sure.
That's not to mention the fact that really, to us, debt management is all about tracking your interest rates and your terms. So that's another big one. A lot of times I'll hear people say to me, CJ, I have this one debt. There's $2,000 remaining. It's zero interest, but I just want to pay it off because it annoys me. And I go, okay, what other debts do you have? And they go, well, I've got this one credit card with $20,000 of debt, and that's at 20% a year, but, you know, I can't even make any progress on that one, so I'm going to leave it alone. And I go, whoa. So tracking the interest rates of your debt and paying off the highest interest ones first, I mean, listen, folks, I know this sounds like ABCs, but it's you'd be shocked at how many people don't track that. So track your debts by highest interest to lowest interest and pay off the highest interest ones first.
How about opportunities for refinancing at lower interest rates?
Yeah, great question. So this is another big one. With interest rates as low as they have become, if your credit is good enough, and a place you can go to check your credit is creditkarma.com. But if your credit is good enough, you can refinance in many cases and bring your debt service payments down, especially on something like a home mortgage. So we're huge fans of taking stock of where you're at, you know, sorting your debts by highest interest to lowest interest, and then trying to refinance them as you can.
CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas joins us. This is Kloss Financial Money in Motion Show. Answers to all your retirement questions in one place. If you have a question for either CJ or Malia, give us a call, 321-1310 or 1-877-235-1310. You can also go to KlossFinancial.com, and it's K-L-A-A-S Financial.com. When we come back, we'll talk more about going into retirement and also, what about trying to help your child or your grandchild with college? And if that's a good or a bad idea, you're listening to Kloss Financial on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Welcome back, Kloss Financial Money in Motion Show. Malia Cuevas and CJ Kloss joins us. And you can give us a call, 321-1310 or 1-877-235-1310. If you have any questions for CJ or Malia, you can also go to KlossFinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S Financial.com. And we've been talking about managing debt. And before we go into going to kids and college, wanted to talk about going into retirement. You were talking earlier about, you know, having as least amount of debt as possible. And whether or not that's a good idea, and obviously it is. Yeah. Is there a such thing, though, even if you're going into retirement, is there a such thing as good debt?
Yeah, great question. So the best debt you can have is a primary home mortgage at a low interest rate, which is tax deductible. So actually, when people come in, we talk about good debt and bad debt, and one of the key components of quote-unquote good debt is whether or not there's collateral backing it, right? So if you lend me $10,000 and as part of that loan I have a vehicle that's worth $10,000 and you have a lien on that vehicle, you're more inclined to feel comfortable with that loan because if I default and I don't pay you back, you'll just take the vehicle, right?
Right.
But in unsecured debt, which would be things like credit card debt, that's when the interest rates really spike and that's when it gets out of control. So the best kind of debt to have is secured debt. And even then, the really best kind of debt is primary home mortgage where the government offers you a tax deduction on that interest.
Let's move on to kids and grandkids, and I have kids, and you know, so many people have kids, and they start thinking about, you know, how to start saving up for college, help whether it's your child or your grandchild. Is this a good idea?
You know, that's a great question, and really what it drives us all back to as parents is, what do we want for our children? And I think realistically we all want a better life for our kids than we had. I think that's the general idea here, and we put this out for our clients who happen to be parents and sometimes grandparents. So this can work in both directions, considering how can I help that next generation or my grandchild get through college. And again, not to steer CJ out of the utopian world into the reality
world. Don't do it, Malia. Don't do it.
Because CJ does have younger children. I have almost a third one going off to college. So I understand the college costs a little bit better, the realities of debt and so forth. And we just wanted to tell our listeners today to be realistic when you're planning for college, whether it be 18 years from now or 10 years from now. The costs are pretty exorbitant. Even if you look at the difference between public versus private universities, in 2015, the average in-state public college costs were $24,000 across the country, and in private universities they actually averaged $48,000. So knowing those figures today, not even compounding for inflation for 10 to 15 years from now, we're talking on a yearly basis today, $24,000 a year, $100,000 right out of someone's portfolio perhaps. And I have clients who actually took out loans for their kids. They took them out of retirement savings, $100,000 worth of debt that they have. And believe me, when you're going into retirement, you probably don't want to be carrying debt on your children's loans.
Yeah, okay? I was just going to ask if that was a good idea.
Not the best idea. But you can't change the way people fundamentally think sometimes. They want something better. So we like to look at options with our clients. Again, we don't specialize in college planning, but we work with it. And, you know, some options might be maybe the child goes for 2 years to a junior college and you're helping with the books as a grandparent or child. And then they can easily transfer in as a junior at almost any university if they already have 2 years done. Great opportunity. Another angle is the military. I mean, I've even suggested it to one of my children who's thinking about becoming a doctor. I mean, wow, you could be accepted into a program where the military will pay for you to go to medical school. There's some give back. Obviously, that's important, especially for our country, I think. But
There's definitely a give back.
Definitely a give back. But let's not be silly that those are opportunities.
Right.
And the final thing, and this is kind of me on my soapbox probably, but the final thing is don't hold your kids back. If you have a kid who's a star performer, good grades, good test scores, to be honest, these days there's no reason why they shouldn't shoot for the stars, apply to some of the best universities out there because they really are accepting students need blind, which is wonderful. Your child could go to Yale and not pay a penny if you have financial need. I mean, that's ridiculous. So when I hear people say, well, I don't want them to apply because we wouldn't be able to afford it, guess what? Someone else can probably pay the whole bill for them. So don't hold them back.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because one of my favorite shows is Shark Tank. And there was a guy who came on that had this app that you could apply for student loans and grants. It put it all in one place. And I think the amazing thing about it was the fact that I didn't realize there were so many grants out there and so many ways to apply for student loans. And I think that's lost on a lot of people because I think about that too, like, how in the world am I going to afford to send three kids to college? And you start thinking, well, there are grants out there, but I think a lot of people don't know how many exist.
It's the knowledge base. And unfortunately, one lacking thing usually at the high school level is the knowledge of college counselors or your high school counselors. So again, you need to meet with professionals that can throw some good ideas out your way. Of course, there's federal loans, as you mentioned. Grants are great because you don't have to pay those back. And looking at filing every year that wonderful document called a FAFSA, which is a financial aid type of application that everybody has to do for your kid to be considered for either merit or need-based scholarships. So we would probably say we don't want you to sacrifice your retirement funds, but try to be creative. See how you can still help your kids and grandkids.
Tell us a little bit about the savings that you can set up in advance to pay for college.
Yeah, so this is a big one. And I want to, just before I even get into that too deep, just echo something Malia was hinting at there, which is don't sacrifice your entire retirement for your kids' education. Hopefully you can do them simultaneously. Mm-hmm. We see some people who will say to us, they're in their early 50s as their kids are getting into college, and they say, well, I just don't plan on saving anything for the next decade because I've got to fund my kids' college education. And therefore, CJ, I won't be able to meet my retirement goals. I won't ever be able to retire. I'll die, in debt. And I go, this is your plan? And what's amazing is those same people will say, and I had to work my way through college, and it made me who I am today. And I go, so it made you who you are today, but you want to give it for free to your kids, right? You see that disconnect? So we are big believers in your kids should be, even if they get full ride scholarships, they should be engaged in understanding that cost. Because remember, education is a cost benefit analysis at the college level. At least it is currently, because it's not free, right?
Right.
Meaning I've got to justify the cost of the future potential benefit. Now I'm getting into politics, right?
It's all right.
I see you smiling over here.
That's okay.
To me, it's this cost benefit analysis. So if your child is unaware of the cost because you're paying it for them, or if they get a full ride scholarship and therefore, again, they're unaware of the cost because of that, that's problematic. Because at some phase in their life, they're going to have to do that analysis, whether it be on a vehicle, a home, or their own kids. But you get the point.
Well, okay. I paid my way through college, for the record, and through graduate school. And there is something to be said about making sure that we understand how much those dollars are worth.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
We have a caller. Gary has a question about retirement money and children's college funds. Gary, you're next up on Kloss Financial.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just a question for you. I've looking at retiring in a few years, and I've got a defined retirement benefit plan, and in there it gives you options of for how you want to take your retirement, you know, with a spouse or your other beneficiary, 25, 50, 75, or 100%.
Yep.
And my question is, we really, my wife and I are pretty well to do as far as we've done a lot of saving. We don't aren't going to be tied to my retirement.
Yep.
My question is, for the contingency beneficiary, what are your thoughts on naming a grandchild for that once, you know, I were to pass and it passes on to the grandchild for education and for as long as they live?
Wonderful question. So, Gary, in our understanding of most pension plans, you are not able to leave monies to a grandchild. It's normally spousal contingencies. Now, there can be an exception to that when you do a period certain time frame, so like 10-year period certain or 15-year period certain. And what that simply means is no matter what, somebody's going to get a payment for at least 10 or 15 years. And in that case, you could name a grandchild in the event of your death, because again, if you die, there's this period certain payment. But in the 50% contingency or 75% contingency, that is spousal only. So as it pertains to pension plans where there's not a lump sum involved, naming a grandchild can be a difficult thing. Now, conversely, Gary, as it pertains to your retirement investments, so defined contribution plans like 401ks, IRAs, Roth IRAs, those you can name a beneficiary because there's residual value. And in that event, we love the idea of naming grandchildren because they can do what are called stretch IRA benefits or stretch Roth IRA benefits and stretch out the deferral of that tax for 20, 30, 40 years at a time. So I hate to be so quick on the response here, but bottom line would be we love the notion of what you're thinking about. You would just have to be careful around which accounts are eligible for that.
Sure. And I knew that my wife would have to agree to not be the primary beneficiary if, in fact, the plan even allows it.
You got it. Exactly right.
Gary, thank you so much for the call, and I apologize for losing my voice there. It only happens when I'm on the radio. You're listening to Kloss Financial Money in Motion. CJ Kloss, Malia Cuevas joins us, and when we come back, we'll talk about setting up a 529 plan and about the taxes associated with that account. We'll do that next. You're listening to 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Welcome back to Kloss Financial Money in Motion. CJ Kloss, Malia Cuevas joins us, 1310 WIBA. If you have a question for CJ or Malia, give us a call, 321-1310 or 1-877-235-1310. Before we went to the break, we were talking about setting up college savings plans, and in particular, the 529 plans. First of all, how do you set that up? And then number two, are there other accounts you can set up that pretty much do the same thing?
Yeah, so we'll try to give our listeners a quick rundown here, but there's a few different types of accounts that you can establish towards your children's education costs in general. There's what are called Coverdell Education Savings Accounts or Coverdell ESAs. Those can be used for high school or college-related expenses, and there's limitations on contributions per year into those. There's what are called UTMA accounts, which is Uniform Transfers to Minors Act, which, again, is almost like just a savings account for your kid.
Yeah.
But there's a little bit of a tax break there, not much, but a little bit. And that can be used for anything. It can be used for vehicles or anything for the benefit of that child. But the kicker there is that money becomes theirs at the age of 21 in a UTMA account. Okay. Ah. And then finally, there's the most common, which is the state-sponsored 529 college savings plans. Now, the key here is that 529 plans, your state will offer one. Now, whether or not it's good or bad, I can't say. The state of Wisconsin actually revamped theirs not too long ago, and they have two options. They have Tomorrow Scholar and Edvest, and both of them are fantastic.
Yeah.
One has Tomorrow Scholar allows an advisor to work with you. Edvest is more just for you to do on your own, and there's cost-benefit analysis people need to do there. But the key there is contributions, if you're a resident of the state of Wisconsin, contributions to those up to a maximum amount per year are state income tax deductible. not federally, but state. So that's a big deal. You know, if you're going to save on behalf of your child towards college, why not get a state income tax deduction on it? And here's the other kicker, two things. That money can only be used for college or higher level education costs or costs associated with that, like books, room and board, tuition, for, again, college or higher level education. But at the age of 21, that money does not become the child's. That's a big deal to me, right? If I'm going to save money for one of my kids and one of my kids does not actually go to college, I don't want to come to find out that that money becomes theirs at 21 and they go, you know, whatever, run around the world being a, a goof off, right?
Right, right.
And you can change the beneficiary of a 529 plan once per year, meaning my child doesn't go, my oldest child, then I just change the beneficiary to my middle child. My middle child doesn't go, I get change it to my youngest child.
Or even back to yourself.
Or to yourself to get a PhD or, you know. So we really, if your purpose is to save for college, we really like the 529 state-specific plans the most. Finally, there's one other type of account, which is really not a college account at all. It's a joint account, which you just say between you and your spouse that you earmark for college purposes. That's another way of saving for college, but not having the money restricted at all. So it remains under your control always, but could be used for college. But that's probably the least frequent type of account that we see.
Yeah, I was going to say, not many people use that.
No. Normally, it's one of those. Actually, one of the most frequent is a UTMA account.
Yeah.
But I would say it shouldn't be. It probably should be a 529 college savings plan.
Well, it just seems like because of the fact that it's too tempting to dip into that money.
Correct. Right.
Otherwise.
Exactly right.
We do see a lot of grandparents open up these 529 plans. In fact, you know, as a young parent, CJ did that, I recall, opened up one of these 529 plans for his kids, and he sent magnets to all his friends, all his family.
No, just family.
Okay, that told them the account number that they could send funds to help his children go to college someday.
Wait, let me disclaim. Okay.
But it was a great idea.
Yeah.
I know this nice. Story. I know, this is the advisor in me, right?
Just like the televangelist out there.
I actually thought it was brilliant.
It was.
I still do.
That's why I bring it up.
Which was, I had this little magnet that goes on a refrigerator that, again, said the account number. It had a picture of my daughter that was just cute as could be. And it said, it had this little inscription that said, why give me a toy that will waste away and go to ruin when you can invest in my future college?
I loved it. That's why I mentioned it.
And so, you know what was amazing? Grandparents did. You know, they'll still give the toy at a birthday, but they'll also drop $50 into the 529 plan.
At least they're thinking about it's for college.
I think it's brilliant. That's a good idea. Yeah.
That's it. I'm shutting down Kloss Financial. I'm opening up a new business.
Magnets.
So to remind the listeners, what should you expect from a financial advising firm like yours?
Well, we really think it's important that you're able to go somewhere, sit down, kick at the tires, making sure that you're at least on pace for where you think you're going to end up in retirement. We've talked a lot about college this morning. College is not something that we open up tons of college accounts for our clients, but we can definitely address their concerns. Really some place where you're able to have your own situation looked at and an actual plan figured out for you. And it's a plan that's in pencil. So we like to help people recreate their path. People sometimes have things that get in their way, and hopefully we can sit down and give them a reasonable amount of confidence. Being their quarterback is what we like to be able to do between them, their accountant, and the other parts of their lives.
So what's really, I mean, the bottom line, the benefit of working with someone like yourself is basically having someone help guide your financial needs.
Yeah, we call it the coach and the quarterback. This is the analogy that we use all the time. Or another analogy people have used is the general practitioner versus the specialist. So we work with people on the core plan, and then from there we work with their other financial teammates to carry it out.
CJ, Malia, it was great to have you on the show. Thank you so much. And before we go, it's the Kloss Quiz question of the week. And the question is, if you've been paying attention, what is the average cost per year for a student to attend a public university in the United States in 2015 and 2016? The prize is a $25 gift card for Lowe's, and you can call into the Kloss, their office, 608-442-5637. That's 608-442-5637. The question again is, what is the average cost per year for a student to attend a public university in the United States in 2015-2016? $25 gift card for Lowe's, which is actually pretty cool. That's a cool place.
Yeah.
Springtime.
Yes, it is. CJ, Malia, it is great to have you. Thank you so much for another fine edition of Kloss Financial Money in Motion.
Thanks.
Stay tuned for Madison in the Morning on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Kloss Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial.